Hi, everyone. Welcome to the For Good podcast. My name is Jenna, and this is a place to talk about all of the thoughts, conversations, and people that have changed me and my life for the better and for good. Whether you've been an avid listener since the beginning, or this is your first time finding this podcast because you tried to look up the song For Good from Wicked, I'm happy that you're here. I didn't realize how much I had missed podcasting and having this alone time, processing time, until I didn't do it for like over a year. And even just like sitting back down right now, I feel like I already feel better, already feel more grounded and more like myself, just being able to have a creative outlet and a creative expression just built in to my life, not necessarily committing to doing every week, just because I know that's not feasible with my work schedule and life schedule. But I know that I'm a better version of myself as a friend, as a coworker, as a girlfriend, a family member, all those things when I'm able to tap into more of a creative and authentic side of myself, which, if you know me, I don't always plan out time to paint or to write and journal or scrapbook or like do any of those crafting hobbies because I'm always like, oh, it takes way too much time. Like, I'm not going to have any energy to do that after work. But this, I get to listen to people talk all day at work, and this is actually pretty refreshing to be on the other side and to share some of my thoughts and how I'm feeling, what I'm learning, and how I'm growing. I don't know. I was even looking back on some of the earlier episodes of the podcast that I recorded when I was still in college, which I know was not that long ago, but in a lot of ways feels like it was. And I just think that this will be such a gift to have to look back on later in life and to memorialize such treasured people in my life and to kind of capture who I was at a certain time and place and get to see how much change has occurred since then. So just very grateful to be here and happy to anybody that is willing to listen. So something that I don't even remember if I did this in last week's episode, but when I first started the podcast, something I liked to do was to share a high and a low from the week and then do one of the We're Not Really Strangers question cards, because that's one of my favorite games. So I figured we could just jump back into that for now. And if I ever decide a different sort of routine or different segments I want to have, then I'll change it then. But for now, I can share my highs and lows from the week and do one of those questions. So looking back on the past week or so, I'm going to share a couple of highs. One very small one was I went to the store this week and bought some overpriced eggs and other ingredients and did some baking. So I made double chocolate chip muffins and brown butter chocolate chip cookies with sea salt, and they were both delicious. And again, like another thing that I haven't done in so long, but just makes me feel so me and so relaxed and calm. So that was definitely a way that I practiced some good self-care this week and was able to just love on others around me by sharing those baked goods. That's like my number one favorite thing about baking, is getting to just share it with everyone else around me. So I loved getting to do that. But then the other very exciting high for my week was this past Friday, I got coffee with a birth doula who I very randomly met at a coffee shop when I was getting coffee with someone else who happened to know her and the other person that she was with. And we connected. She ended up like giving me her business card because I was like, oh my gosh, being a doula is like my dream job, but I don't really know anything specific about it or like how to become trained or certified in that. She gave me her card and had reached out and was like, hey, I'd love to like get coffee with you and hear more about your journey in social work and interest in being a doula. So we did that once back in January, but then she had actually reached out again and was like, I would love to catch up with you, like see and hear more about how things are going, how you're feeling. And it was just a very, very lovely, lovely coffee date. I'm still incredibly fascinated by the work of doulas, whether it be birth doulas or postpartum doulas. I definitely could see myself pursuing that at some point in life. I'm not sure if I feel ready to do, I don't know if I feel at this age and stage ready to like open up my own practice or business, because I think that feels a little bit too flexible and like it would require too much of me like marketing myself. I think that I have a fair amount of like security in working for an agency and kind of having more of that built-in structure and support and like clientele that kind of just comes in through an agency rather than seeking out those clients independently. But regardless, I loved hearing her insights on what being a doula is like and what bearing witness to birthing people's experiences and stories is like, and how you can be part of the process of empowering people to make the decisions that are best for them, for their story. The way that this doula was talking about it, I think, reminded me of the heart of why I love social work and even love the work that I'm in right now, of just getting to walk alongside people through their journeys, not coming in as an expert saying, you need to do this thing, you need to fix this, I'm giving you specific advice on changing this, but rather joining in on this process with them and serving as a helpful resource, of course, but also serving as a mirror for people to look back on themselves and reflect themselves and what's important to them and what they value and how they want to be able to show up for themselves and have others in their relationships and circles and environments also show up for them. So absolutely loved getting to chat with her and would maybe be interested in doing an upcoming training. I think that even if I don't pursue being a doula right now, I definitely think some sort of training or certification on being a birth doula or postpartum doula would definitely shape and inform the work that I'm doing right now, because I do work with a lot of pregnant individuals in the family system altogether, knowing that birth impacts that entire family unit and not just the birthing person or the baby that comes, but that definitely impacts the whole entire dynamic. So I'm sure there would be a lot to learn on better understanding and supporting families through that really big transition. Yeah, I just would love to learn more and to continue growing my interest in that area. But I digress. I could talk about that so much more, but I will not bore all of you because I'm not sure if all of you are passionate about it like I am. All that to say, lovely, lovely coffee date, and just reminds me so much of how there are just a million things that I could do or could want to do in social work or just in life in general, and that continues to excite me, that there's not a right or wrong option, and I don't have to stick with one specific path or one specific job for the rest of my life. Just knowing that I'm always allowed to change and to grow and change my mind feels very liberating and exciting to me. So that was definitely a high from the week. And then a low for the week. I'm not sure if you can hear it in my voice, but I did get sick. Not sure if it's a cold or just a cough. Either way, that is kind of taking me out. I'm finding myself feeling very, very exhausted and needing like 10 hours of sleep when normally I can operate on around 6. Yeah, I think when I feel sick or feel a bit more tired, it's definitely harder to feel present during the workday or have much energy to hang out with people outside of the workday. So I've been doing my best to fight that off and give my body rest and grace because it needs that and it needs to heal. But yeah, feeling a bit frustrated with the sickness, but also trying to remember that it comes with the territory of working with lots of kiddos and lots of germs. So we're taking it easy this week and hopefully ready to be back on the up and up soon. Ooh, okay. And then for the We're Not Really Strangers question, this one says, how has my confidence increased with age? I really like this one. I think I've seen this a lot in just like my perception of body image and self-esteem in general. I by no means have this down perfectly and have it all figured out, but I think even comparing myself to high school or early college, I just think I spent so much more mental energy on what do I look like? How are people perceiving me? How are they seeing me? Yeah, I think like on a physical level, I really wanted to like have the perfect outfit and have my hair and have my makeup done. And like later in college and post-grad, I've just seen myself like, yes, I think that that's still important to me because I think what we wear and how we like style ourselves, I think that that's kind of our presentation to the world. And I think that that definitely can impact your mood when you feel like yourself, when you feel in alignment with that, then I think you do feel better. But now more so like, oh, I can wear what I want. And even if it's not what everyone else would want, then that's okay. But like, it makes me feel really good and feel really comforted. And I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, but one of the best pieces of advice that my therapist ever told me was that self-care can look like just choosing things that bring you comfort and that bring you joy and being very intentional about those things. So she explained it to me of like, okay, maybe you have a favorite mug or favorite like two or three mugs that you want to use for your coffee. And like those ones are going to bring you the most joy and the most comfort when you start your day. It might feel silly or stupid, but like, you know, those are your favorite ones to use and that's going to make you feel a certain way. So like being intentional with those and maybe getting rid of some of your other ones. So I think the same thing kind of applies with clothing where it's like, okay, I know which things I think like look the best on me or make me feel the most me. So then being very intentional about like choosing those, wearing those, and not just gravitating towards the fast fashion and trends of buying everything and anything just because everyone else is wearing it and it supposedly looks cool if it's not in alignment with what brings me comfort and coziness and joy and feels good. Yeah, and I think I've even used that in other ways of like what do I want to fill my time with? Like how is that going to bring me comfort or coziness or joy or not? And not to say that like, okay, you can only do things that feel good because that's not true. We have to do things that we don't always enjoy and don't always want to do. I get that. But when given the opportunity, I want to choose to do things that I know are going to feel comforting and true to me and good to me. And I think that has made me feel more confident and empowered and authentic to who I am. Yeah, I've also seen my confidence increase with just not obsessing over whether or not people like me, because I know that I like me and I know that I enjoy spending time with myself and I know that I'm being true to who I am, and I hope that other people can also be true to who they are. And knowing that like that, I think kind of having that mindset or that attitude, I think attracts the people that you want to be around you when you're able to feel secure and confident in yourself and yeah, in who God has made you to be, then I think you're more equipped or enabled to have, to like find people that also share those same things and same values. I don't know if that really answered the question, but that is kind of my perspective on it. I just feel very grateful to be in a place where I feel very, very seen and very known. And there's just a lot of like security, and there's a lot of trust in the relationships that I'm in. And I feel a lot of support in the work that I'm doing. So in all those areas, I feel pretty grounded, and like I have a good sense of who I am and what I'm doing, and why all of that matters. So very grateful for that. And I wish I could tell my younger self in early college or high school that it does get better and you're going to continue finding yourself. But I know that like she had to work through that and to grow through that, and that she was doing the best that she could at that time too. Trying to give myself, my younger self, grace and permission, because you only know as much as you know until you learn more. Okay, so that pretty much wraps up the intro section of today's episode. And now I'm excited to transition to today's guest. Today I have Darian joining the podcast, who is a friend of mine, and I am so excited to talk with him about art and beauty and how both of those things are just so ubiquitous in life and so enmeshed in our everyday life, and how we can be more attentive to noticing those things. I think that Darian does that very well and is naturally very artistic and very creative and drawn towards beauty and towards artistic expression. So I'm sure he will have a lot to say on the topic. Yeah, so I'm excited to hear what he has to say and where the conversation leads us. So without further ado, let's jump into it.
I don't know why
if I'm so start nervous. It, I think you'll like my get into your like, flow.
My heart's pounding. You know?
All right, everyone. You want to say hi?
Hi.
I'm here with Darian.
Hi, it's Darian.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Happy to host you. Happy to have you.
I'm excited to be here. I'm thrilled, actually.
You look so scared. It's going to be okay.
Well, I'm also nervous.
This is a non-judgmental space. Anything you say here stays here, except
Canon
it also goes on to Spotify.
In the court of law.
Yeah. So I know you've listened.
I have.
Before, so you probably know.
I'm a long time listener. I try.
So you probably already know how this kind of goes.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Because I asked the same like three questions at least to everybody. The first one, can you give yourself an introduction to the people, to the podcast? Who are you? What do you do?
What do I do?
What should everyone know about you?
I'm Darian. Where do I start? I feel like
Birth.
I was born in Portland, Oregon in 1998. That's a lot of information. You can probably guess half of my social security
probably,
number.
Probably, yeah.
That. I grew up in Oregon. I moved to Colorado. I moved to Michigan.
Did you move to Colorado?
Here we are.
And when did you move to Michigan?
Oh, I lived in Portland for 15 years. I moved to Colorado when I was 15. And then I lived there for 4 years. And then I came to college in Michigan. And then I got stuck. Like glue.
Not stuck. Not in a bad way.
In a good way.
In the bestest way.
I got stuck because I fell in love with everybody here. And then I couldn't leave.
And your rhythms and routines. I feel like you have a lot of, like, I feel like you're very local with Grand Rapids now.
Yeah.
Things that keep you, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but I feel like you have, like, certain things that you love to do that are local to here.
You're very correct. I feel rooted here. I feel like this is home.
Yeah.
Like, I have nowhere else I'd go. You know, my parents still live in Colorado and my sisters live in Oklahoma, but I'm, like, this is my home to be.
Yeah.
So.
Even if it's like home for now, you can always
bounce
around again if you want, but.
Exactly. I'm a 4 Enneagram.
I was going to reveal that later.
Oh, you
that's
were?
Right.
Oh.
That's fine. No, let's do it now.
Edit that out.
No.
I figured I'd go there next. I think I'm an ENTF. I think that's.
Okay, what does that mean to you?
I honestly always forget. But I know Barack Obama is one of these two. That's my claim.
You guys are twins.
We are. I'm extroverted.
Okay.
What's the T? Intuitive? I always forget thinking. These things. Thinking?
Mm-hmm. Because I think I'm INFJ.
Oh, wait.
So I'm feeling.
What did I say? ENF.
Oh, so you're
feeling. I'm EN. What's N? N's intuitive. F is feeling.
I'm going to look it up. What are you? EN?
I think I'm ENFJ.
I'm INFJ. Extroverted, intuitive, feeling, and judging.
There we go. I do judge people very hard.
Me yeah, too, apparently.
It's my favorite thing to do. And feel.
I feel all my feelings and then I'm judging you.
And then I judge everyone else.
Oh, can I wait? Can I read
yes.
what this says?
Yes.
Okay, so it says that you are known for your genuine warmth, empathy, and ability to connect with others on a deep level. I feel like that's very true.
Okay.
Driven by your desire to make a positive impact on the world, and they often see careers that align with their values.
Well, that's a good segue.
Highly focused on people and relationships and enjoy helping others grow and reach their full potential.
I like that. I hope people think that's who I am.
I think so. I definitely think so.
Okay,
I'll let you expand more, though.
What else? I'm a civil engineer.
What does that mean? What do you do?
To the non-engineering
people of the world.
I design things that people use every day, like roads and parks and trails and water main and sewage pipes, so that
your life... And bike lanes?
And bike lanes. I do design a lot of bike lanes.
Do you do roundabouts?
I haven't done a roundabout yet. There's a broad variety of tasks that civil engineers do. I do a lot of parks and trails, which I like, because mm-hmm. I think those are
Because you're very
beneficial.
Outdoorsy.
Yeah.
And you like the parks of the world.
I think that makes an impact on the community more than, like, building a regular road does.
Yeah.
So, that's that. I like hiking. I like camping.
Mm-hmm.
Long walks on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be creative, but lately I've been incredibly frustrated with with my creativity and how
we'll get ready for the topic today.
Uh-oh. I don't know what it is. I hope it's
get
not
ready.
No. I like Lego.
Mm-hmm.
I like listening to music and watching movies.
Letterboxd.
I love Letterboxd. I got rid
you
of
You can find him at
D Seal.
At Letterboxd.com.
Not to dox myself or anything. I minored in film production, and so I like movies and mm-hmm. watching them and talking to people about them. That's honestly what I love most, is having conversation about it.
Yeah.
And so I deleted all my social media except Letterboxd. I love Letterboxd.
When did you do that? I feel like I knew that maybe, but...
A little bit ago. I sometimes, like...
Sometimes I see a DM.
I sometimes peek on, like...
A meme coming
www.instagram.com.
Yeah.
It's, like, a little workaround.
Yeah.
To not have the app.
It's actually... It's way more fun on, like, your laptop, though.
It's thrilling.
Than your phone. I used to do that, like, in college, like, during my classes. I would log on to Instagram on my laptop. And
yeah.
It's, like, this is, like, exhilarating.
It's,
in a different way.
Mm-hmm. It's, like, when you see, like, a picture of yourself that's not, like, reversed, and you're, like, who am I? Yeah, that's like...
Yeah, that's what that experience is like.
Instagram on the computer.
Oop, yeah.
I just bonked the table. I don't know what else.
I think that's a good introduction.
I love people. I like to be around people.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like we've been recording for so long now.
Okay, next question. How would you describe yourself in 3 to 5 words?
Oh.
And you can feel free to, like, expand on... Why you chose those words.
You always ask this. And,
see, this is
and
the one I said I feel like you would know to
every
expect.
Time you ask it and I'm listening to your podcast, I'm like, oh, I need to think of these for someday when Jenna has me on her
and
podcast.
And this is that moment.
And
right now.
Guess what? I never did. I never figured
and
them out.
And they're going to see it live then. Your live
All right, off the
process.
Dome. 3 words.
Or five.
I'm struggling because there are things I want to say, but I don't know if they're truly who I am or if it's just who I want to be.
Okay, well, you could say them and I can vouch for you or not.
Okay.
I'll give it a yay or a nay.
Number one, we got whimsical.
Yay.
Jenna's nodding.
I'm nodding.
Jenna's
yay.
Nodding her head. I think I just want to be a kid. And I feel like I'm still a kid in a lot of ways. And I really like kids. And I think kids see the world in a way that adults don't. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes don't allow themselves to. And I think whimsy is like that. I think that's the essence of being a kid. Is just being whimsical and like running because you want to run.
And like, you know, not caring about what everyone is like thinking about.
Right, exactly.
You doing and how you're being perceived.
Yeah, because I never care about anything. Yeah. That doesn't make me anxious ever, no. So whimsy, whimsical. Two, I think, this is so tough. You can edit out all my pauses.
No!
All my thinking. I have a word in my head, but I don't want to say it because I want to think of a better synonym, but I'm just going to say like welcoming or like...
I think you're very welcoming.
Or, yeah, something.
I feel like you always... Yeah, I feel like you always want like everyone to be included, which I think goes with welcoming. I don't think that you would ever like want to like plan a hangout or plan something and intentionally like leave people out. You're like, I want everyone to like have the best possible experience and feel like welcomed and wanted. And
I do like doing that.
Seen. So I feel like I've like seen that in you.
Oh, well, thank you. That's two. Three, a third word.
You should do another W because you've done two words. Whimsical and welcoming.
Welcoming, whimsical, wonky. No. Not wonky. I recant
wise.
Wonky. Oh, I don't think I'm wise. I think...
Really?
No, I wish I was wise.
I think you're very...
Wishing.
I think you're very intuitive or, like, reflective.
And feeling and judging.
Well, come on.
Yeah, well.
I'm going to take a seat back, though. I'm, like, steamrolling over.
No, you're not steamrolling. It's a conversation.
This is why I'm the worst podcast host ever, because I just tell everyone. Actually, this is what I know about you, and this is how I see you.
Well, I'm sitting here silent. So
that's how Sue sees it. Hmm.
Sue.
Every singly?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Another word. This is tough. How do I put this I'm trying to put a positive spin on this. I'm emotional.
No.
I think
you
know this about me.
Well, me as well.
I just feel my feelings and you feel your feelings.
We're both feeling both of our feelings.
We both do that. And I think at some times that is a strength of mine, a big strength of mine. Mm-hmm. And I think at other times that can be a limiting belief and that could stunt growth in ways.
Yeah.
So I take it as it comes, but I like to feel.
But I think in more ways than not, it is a strength to like feel things very deeply and to like...
I think so.
Feel it all. I feel like that's a better alternative than being apathetic and numb or like oblivious.
Right.
You know, which is okay. Some people, that's their truth.
Yeah. If you're listening right now and you're oblivious, sorry.
That's your word to describe you. That's fine.
I'm kidding. I love oblivious people.
We love everyone, okay?
We do.
All emotional intelligence levels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I feel like those are very good.
I got a fourth descriptions. One.
Okay,
you funny. Can. I think I'm funny.
You're very funny.
Okay, thank you.
I think you're witty. You could also do it.
Oh, witty. Yes.
I think you're witty.
I think someone has said quick-witted. That once or twice about me.
Yeah.
My mom likes to say that. My mom likes to say, you're so witty. Like, thanks, Mom.
Thanks.
Thanks, Mom.
I'm going to hold that compliment right here.
I think it's just because my mom's not witty.
Those are good words.
Thank you.
Next question. Can you briefly describe the story of how we met?
Oh.
If you remember it.
Yeah, well, I guess there's like, anytime you meet someone, it's hard because there's usually, I feel like everyone I've met, there's not like one specific moment.
It's like multiple.
I mean, I remember the first time you became a character in my life.
Okay.
Like the first time you're described in the book. And it was when we were going, we being some guy friends, inclusive
the buddies.
Your boyf.
Yes.
Tyler. If you don't know about Tyler, listen to the last episode. So
thank you for that shout out.
I, another friend, we're going to meet other friend. And you and other friend were getting coffee. You don't remember this. Uh-oh, caught off guard.
Wait.
So we were going to meet
I thought you were
going to
say something about Toronto.
Toronto.
Oh, you're talking about Madcap.
Madcap.
Okay, sorry.
We went to Madcap. We were meeting Simon to play board games.
Yes. I remember this day like so coffee. Clearly.
And you and Simon were getting coffee, and Simon had mentioned, oh, I'm getting coffee with a friend. Back to the story.
Okay.
We were going to meet Simon. You and Simon were getting coffee, and there was a little overlap there.
Because you guys were already, like, sitting inside.
We walk in, and we got a table, but you and Simon were still talking. And so we were just, like, watching you
guys. What's going on?
And I remember seeing you, and then there's the whole, I mean, there's the you and Ty in that whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean.
But I'm trying to think of, so, like, I didn't meet you guys then.
No. But that I was first aware.
We crossed paths.
You might have to fill me in on the first time we, like, met. Because
one of my earliest memories with you was when we went to EK. But it was, like, you and Charlie and Alec. And Ty and I, like, I was the only girl there. Do you remember this?
I think so, but I've also been to EK 1,000 times.
Probably. But I feel like I have this one memory of, like, I think it was maybe Alec who was, like, trying to, like, make some jokes with me. But I, like, had, like, just met you guys for the first time. And I felt, like, I felt so bad. And I was, like.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, sometimes you have
to. That was my first impression of, like, the group, I guess. I was, like, oh, my gosh. Like, they do not like me. They're.
No,
making fun of me.
We all like you. Alex humor is like you have to be in the know to get it.
Yeah, and sometimes was not.
Yeah, we love you, Alec.
Yeah, shout out Alec.
Shout out Alec.
I know you and Jack and Ty and I watched a movie at Ty's house.
Should we look on Letterboxd and see the first time I tag you?
You know what? I think I followed like you and Ty on Letterboxd before I even met you. Because I was commenting on your reviews like July.
I remember this. We were, because you followed me and I was like, who's this? And I realized, oh, it's the girl that like her and Ty. Yeah.
So that's when we like met via Letterboxd.
You know what? I love that.
I was like, you know what? Why not?
I love that part of our story. It's a great.
And now we still have Letterboxd and that's beautiful. It is the best app.
I'm going to find the first movie that you, because I think you're better at recording your tags than I am.
Oh, with you?
Yeah. Okay. The first movie. Oh, whoops.
Filter.
I gotta sort my day. Otherwise, we were gonna talk about Barbie. Mermaid. Oh my goodness, I'm having difficulty. Oh, diary. Here we go. Can you guess?
The first movie we watched
this
together?
This is confirming my suspicion.
Was it? Can I ask, was it with Jack as well?
Yes, it was with Jack.
And Ty?
And Ty.
At Ty's house?
No.
At your house?
It was in a movie theater. This is what I was actually going to talk about when we first met. This is the first time
was
I
remember. Was it? Oh.
It was a dark time.
It wasn't Long Legs.
No.
Nope. Was it the one where you were making a pun with the name? And the movie tickets?
Maybe.
And you're taking that picture?
No. Poor things. You guys hated this movie.
Poo, poo, poo.
And nobody wanted to be there.
Anora.
Poo, poo, poo. No, not Anora. Was that your experience with Anora?
Yeah, we can talk about that later.
Okay, talk about
that. Everyone's going to hate this, but I need to guess what this was.
Do you want a hint?
Like a small hint.
Okay.
A very small hint.
It's two words. It stars Paul Dano. He's in my favorite movie.
Oh, is it that stupid movie? That dumb money.
Yeah, we saw
Dumb Money.
We saw Dumb Money.
Oh.
Do you remember why we saw Dumb Money?
Yes, because we tried to go see Coraline.
Yes.
At Wealthy. But that was with the whole group, though.
Well, that's the first time I met
Mallory and Jamie.
But I think it's also the first time that
we had met
before. But I think that's the first time we spent a considerable amount of time together.
Okay, I think EK was before that.
I think you're right.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, we have it on lock.
There you go. That's the history.
And since then,
mm-hmm.
we've watched movies together. We've played pickleball before.
We have.
We've gone to church.
We have.
Or coffee dates.
I like coffee dates.
The farmer's market.
I feel like we've done a lot of, just mutual time. Like, I'll just come over here and we'll chat.
Yeah.
Like, you and your housemates.
Or we'll, like, say that we're going to watch a movie and then we...
And then we just, yeah.
Talking.
Yeah, we don't
watch. That was, like, one of my favorite things was, like, one of the first times you hung out with Jamie and Mallory and I.
At your old house?
And we were going to watch a movie and then we just, like, chatted for so long. That was so fun.
That was a very special moment for me too.
Okay, that's kind of sweet to actually think back on all that.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was just so sweet, like, obviously getting to meet Ty, but then getting to meet, like, all of his friends and all of you guys, like, through that. And now, like, having individual relationships and friendships with all of you guys is, like, so special. It's not just like, oh, this is, like, only Ty's friend and I only want to hang out with him because they're Ty's friends. It's, like, getting to make my own.
That's fun. That's special.
Individual relationships and friendships, you know?
I remember when we first started hanging out and I would drive to your guys' house by Calvin. It was, like, so nostalgic for me. I'm, like, driving to your house, I was, like, chopping 2 years off my life. I was, like, going back in time 2 years. And it was, maybe we're getting into, like, the meat of the podcast too much here, but I've told my therapist this all the time. I'm, like, I love hanging out with, I just call you guys the girls, Jenna and Jamie and Mel, because I feel so much younger. I feel like there's there's less pressure. And back to this whole idea of whimsy. Not to create a narrative for this podcast.
That's fine. But I'll ask my very pointed questions soon.
You all are just so authentic and you're just yourselves. And not everyone is that way, I feel like, especially these days with the political climate and everything. It's, people are standoffish and they have their guard up and they want to impress people and they want to seem intelligent and and you guys are just like yourselves and you're silly and you'll just, and I noticed this early when we met because I talk a lot, you know, and I'll always say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm talking so much. And you guys all do that too. We'll all be talking, we'll all be yapping. And then someone will, Mallory will just be like, oh, sorry, I'm talking so much. And then everyone, everyone on cue says, no, you're not, keep going. And that's love. Just hanging out, chatting, listening to people and wanting to hear what people have to say.
Yeah.
And that's, you guys, like, made me realize in myself, I'm like, oh, like, this is the kind of people I want to be around. Aww. This is the kind of person I want to be.
So. That's really sweet. That's, like, my favorite thing in the world, just, like, sitting and chatting with people. Like, I feel like when you know that there's, like, endless conversations that you could have and topics that you could bring up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing I thought of was we both love to host.
We do.
Because we hosted our New Year's party.
Oh, yes.
So I feel like that's a big similarity and connection amongst other things. Yeah. Such as the Enneagram.
Yep.
Which we'll get into. So I think that's a pretty good description of our friendship, though.
I think so.
The story of how we met. Okay. So when I thought about having you on the podcast, one of my first thoughts was just about how artistic and creative you are and how I think that you have such a gift for, like, noticing and making things that are really beautiful and really meaningful. And I think the first time I, like, noticed this was when you told me that you were an Enneagram 4. So to kind of, like, spark this topic or this transition, I am curious, like, what resonates with you about being an Enneagram 4? What doesn't? What does it mean to you?
I was never really into, like, personality tests and stuff. I don't know why. I wasn't introduced to them. But I had a friend in college who I was really close with, and she was into the Enneagram. And she asked me, what are you? Like, what do you think you are on the Enneagram? I was like, I don't know. What do you think I am? And this was always my response to everyone was, well, what do you think I am?
Yeah.
And most people would say, like, and I've taken, like, the tests and whatever, and usually I get, like, a 3 or a 4 or, like, a 7 sometimes, or sometimes a 2. But she was a 4, and I remember this so clearly. She's like, I think you're a 4, because it makes me upset, because I'm also a 4. And you know how 4s
work.
Yes, and she's like, I wish I was the only 4. So she thought I was a 4, and I was like, yeah.
Is this Molly?
No, this is my friend Haley.
Haley who?
Haley Parks.
She so is a 4.
Right.
I've never met her, but
yeah, all you have to do is look at
someone. I follow her on VSCO, and I know.
Yes, if you look at someone's VSCO, you can tell what Enneagram they are.
Yep.
It's a cheat code. Yeah, so she was the first one that was like, I think you're a 4. And then I used to tell people I was divergent for a little bit, because when I took the tests, I would always get 3 equal answers.
That's crazy.
But I think because of that, I think that's evidence I am a 4.
Yeah.
I don't want to be boxed in. I want to be an individual.
Yeah.
I want to be unique. and memorable. I think there was a nice little snippet about the four. Yes. Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
This is all I have. It's very short. Fours want to be unique and experience deep emotions.
And we'll end the podcast there.
And there it is. Yeah.
And that's it.
Thank you for coming. Yeah. Have a good night. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Yep. I think those are very true. I crave connection with people. So much so that if I give you an activity that I, you know, like characteristically like to do.
Yeah.
And there are not people there to do it with me, I will stop liking it. It's like my motive for doing things is
people.
People.
That's so interesting.
And I have waves in life where, we've talked about this before. I have this, like, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. I genuinely have a fear of being alone. And this is where we differ, because you like your alone time. I am so frightened by it. And I have waves in life where I'm like, I'm going to really invest in hobbies that I do alone. I'm going to, like, you know, pour all my energy into like something solo or something that's just like focused on me. And then I have other moments in life where I'm like, I cannot be in my house. I need to just go sit in a coffee shop and do nothing.
Like be around other people.
And I don't think I was always that way. I don't know when that developed, but
do you feel like part of that is like since graduating college, when you're not around, like, people are friends?
I think it's part of it. I think it was exacerbated by that. I think the inciting incident, not to unlock all the dark doors of my past, but moving when I was in, we moved 2 weeks into my freshman year of high school, and that was a shocking and, I would go as far as to say, traumatic experience, because everyone in my family was ready to move except for me. And that was just jarring. And I went from being in a place where I was known by so many people and was so, like, felt very loved and supported to being in a place where I, like, felt totally isolated. And in a lot of ways, that was the best thing that could have happened at that time, because I think it really forced the individualization from, like,
a psychological standpoint. I feel like that probably, like, I don't know, sparked you turning more into yourself and, like, that personality shift, I feel like.
Yeah. It certainly was. Makes sense. It also was sort of, like, just being thrown in the deep end, because I went from, like, a
small community. And survive.
Yeah, and, like, private school to be, like public high school and, you know, this new state and all this stuff. And you're in high school. That's never fun.
Yeah. Freshman year, too, it's like, there's a lot of, like, hormones and changes and emotions already. And then to be thrown in somewhere new.
Yeah, and so I think that's where a lot of that originated in me, of this, like, oh, I really need to connect to people. And so I think that aspect of the four is what I feel most deeply. And I think I'm a wing three, so it's more heart.
Twins.
Heart, more heart.
Yeah.
And so, I have nothing left to add.
No, I love it.
But yes, the answer to that question, yes, I do feel like the four
describes
me accurately.
When did you first notice that you were drawn towards art or towards creating? I feel like... I know that you're interested in poetry and painting and photography, but, like, when is kind of your earliest memory of being drawn towards some of those hobbies?
It's so funny. You catch me at such an interesting time. And I had therapy 2 days ago.
Okay.
And pretty much the whole theme of this therapy was, this whole session was, how I know I don't feel like I genuinely enjoy the things that I think people think I enjoy.
Oh no.
Well, it's okay. We're working through it. That's what therapy's for. And I think this is just an ongoing battle that I probably will have for the rest of my life, but I'll just have moments of, like, incredible doubt or incredible numbness, feeling like things that used to or typically bring me joy don't anymore. And then I have to change or reevaluate or, or like surprise myself in some way. And I think that is very four of me.
Well, like, and I think
I'm stagnant. Nothing's happening.
Very four to like compare to an ideal that like maybe doesn't even exist. Yeah. But like that's what you should be feeling or should be doing or what you should look like or feel like. And it's like, where did you conjure that image from, huh?
For those listening, we're pointing to something, some, you know, ambiguous, nebulous in the air.
Yeah.
And that's, it's perfect you say that because the inciting incident for this spiral I had was I'm attending this, like, attending. Why do I sound so formal? It's, I take art classes.
You're post-grad, okay.
From a studio.
How many years post-grad?
I'm 4 years post-grad. I know. Crazy.
Okay, that's crazy.
I go to an art studio that is owned and run, and the classes are taught by this artist. We can call him an artist. He's an artist by trade and a professor. He teaches art. He's classically trained in the French academic method, and that's what he teaches. And so it's very, it is impressive. I'm actually, I'm fascinated by this guy. He is so passionate and he is so electric. And you can tell he really cares about this. And he cares especially about the history of art and the distinction between art as expression and art as like form and practice. And you have to have the practice, the foundation to be able to accurately express.
Interesting.
I can go into depth about this just because I'm obsessed with it, but all of
like, I'm pretty interested in that because I don't know if I understand that distinction.
So the distinction he makes, I think the easiest example to draw on is just the way that art is taught. Historically, it was taught the academic method. You have to do all, you have to, he compares it to any other art, like playing an instrument or playing a sport. People come to art school, a contemporary art school, and they're just like told to express themselves and do what, you know, as though it's novel, as though everything hasn't already been said, even though it has, not to be cynical. And he says, he's like, no, that's not art. I mean, you can say, oh, I really like, I don't know, Adele. But you can't just sing Adele without taking voice lessons, you know? Like, if you want to play guitar, you're not just going to go, like, write a song. Like, you're going to practice guitar. You have to know how to play your chords, you know? And so that's where the academic method of art comes in. It's like you are drawing casts and sculptures, and you're just doing
like the foundational
It's
skills, and
it's hard. And it's like, these are three-hour classes we're taking at night after we've worked a full day. And in an actual academy, you're doing this for like 60 to 80 hours a week, and it's exhausting, and it's practice, it's study, it's not art.
Yeah.
And, but you need this to get better at art. And that's, all of that to say, I've been going to this studio and there are people here that are incredible, like unbelievable. And I am a novice at painting in art.
I'm, maybe not.
I started,
I cannot confirm or deny. Okay.
And yeah, so I compared, like you were doing earlier with your little pointing at the nothingness in the air. I was just comparing myself to all these people that are incredible, and I thought, I just don't think I'll ever be this good. Not that that's a reason not to do it. But then I started to wonder, does this even bring me joy? Like, is this something I enjoy doing? And I'm struggling with that. I don't have an answer yet. I enjoy being with other people that are doing it. I think everyone that goes to this studio is an intriguing person. And I want to be friends with them all. And they think so differently than I do. And I think that's opportunity for growth. But at the same time, it's hard to not feel like I don't belong there.
Well, there's a lot of like really talented people, I'm sure. But you're also talented.
Well, thank you.
And everyone has such different style and experiences and, like, ways or, like, forms of expression for them. I mean, yes, I think that there are, like you said, technical skills of, like, okay, do you know how to mix your colors in this sort of way or draw with this skill? But I don't want you to sell yourself short either, because I've seen some of your paintings and photographs and all those things.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me to your original question. When did I start?
Yeah.
All right. I just have to put all that self-doubt out there, because I don't,
Not allowed to, this is not a self-deprecating podcast. No, this is me uplifting you for all of your strengths and the ways changed my life for the better and for good.
Thank you. And for good. I don't want to give off the impression that I am like loathing whatever you think I do. I'm just really critical of it. I think that's just a stage in getting better.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I'm at a low point.
You can only go up from there.
Exactly. Or I can quit.
No.
Just kidding. No. That wouldn't be for good. When did I first start feeling this? I really like playing with Legos.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone will have to forgive me for saying Legos instead of Lego. It's just the way I grew up.
Wait, what?
The plural of Lego is Lego still. But to me, it's like fish.
Do you say
fishes.
Legos?
I say Legos. Like a Lego piece, if you have multiple Lego pieces.
I think I say Legos too.
You have multiple Legos.
That works for me.
It's all minutia. Who knows?
That's fine.
Anyways, I played with a lot of Lego when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And my sets would never stay together. I'd tear them all apart and then I would build something new. And that was
a mock,
my own creation for any,
for
anyone who's not an A-fall out there, adult fan of Lego. And that was just a defining aspect of my childhood. So I played with a lot of Legos and I think that was a channel into my creativity. And that was when I first started hearing, oh wow, Darian's really good at this. He'd be a great engineer. And then I kind of think I was just inceptioned to believe I would always be an engineer.
Mm.
And I genuinely never considered anything else.
Really?
I always did engineering until my senior year of high school. I was in robotics.
Okay.
Nerd. Right. And my senior year, we had a guy come who was from a production company.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the facets of the robotics, the first robotics curriculum is doing like a business plan and showing like your outreach, and there's all kinds of these crazy things that I hated because I just wanted to build a robot. But this guy came and he's like, I'm gonna help you guys make a video about your business plan and about your community impact.
That's cool.
And this guy was like, he came with like $40,000 of camera equipment and was just like, who wants to learn how to do this? And of course all the engineering nerds didn't care about that, but And this other girl, who I'm really good friends with still to this day, we're like, yes, that sounds fun. Let's do it. And so that was my exposure to film and photography. So cool. And it was great because I had no experience. And this guy who actually works at a production company was just teaching me with this actual equipment, studio gear.
Yeah.
Which is valuable. And like, you don't get that as a high schooler typically. No. And that was when I fell in love with just film and photography and editing.
So
like I
cool.
loved editing
and
just playing around and telling a story, and that's what film is really about. And photography and art to that extent is telling a story, and I thought that was fun. And it's it scratched both itches in my brain of being creative and also like my analytical engineering mind. You know, you're solving a problem at the end of the day. So
cool.
So that was kind of that.
That's so cool.
That's when I started.
This one is a little bit of a pivot, but not too much, I don't think. What does it mean to you to romanticize life? And like, what do you feel like are some of the benefits or dangers to doing that?
This is so perfect. I wish now I had said romantic as one of my words.
Well, you can add it.
Okay, I'll
add it in.
Not like the stereotypically like from a relation, like a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Romanticizing life. I think that's so important. I think you mentioned, was this before we started the podcast, I think? All my little habits, my little routines. Or was that?
Maybe it was live.
We've been recording for a while now. I do like routine. I like to feel, I mean, I moved away from my whole family and started a life on my own, which maybe isn't that unique. I'm sure a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
But I think for a long time I felt like I had to justify that and prove that it was worth it. Mm-hmm. And so I would just kind of like really take initiative in making my life what I wanted it to look like. I would just like picture the perfect day, you know? Yeah, I think part of romanticizing life is important to me. Mm-hmm. Because I feel happy when I'm doing that. I feel like I'm doing something memorable. Like, someday I'm going to look back and, like, miss going to a coffee shop and miss going to, like, the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And just chatting. Or, like, my favorite thing in the world is, I mean, we live in a fairly large city.
Yeah.
For what it is. But everyone always says it feels so small. Hmm. And I love that because my favorite thing is just running into someone I know.
Yeah.
And I won't even know them well. I'll just like see someone from my art class, or I'll see someone I went to college with, and I'll chat with them, or I'll just like wave. Yeah. And that feeling, like that sense of community, I think is so vital because, I mean, we're biologically and evolutionarily, we're just
wired towards wanting people. Yeah.
Yeah. We need people. Yeah. One of my favorite movies, maybe not favorite movie, but a movie that spoke to me very deeply, and I really should read the book, but Into the Wild. We probably don't want to have spoilers on.
Oh.
If you're listening right now and you don't want spoilers for Into the Wild book/movie.
Skip to.
Yeah, skip a couple minutes.
I actually can't tell you when, but just click the fast forward.
It'll be a couple minutes. This kid graduates high school. Cuts up his ID, gives away all his money, and then just travels across the country because he wanted to, like, experience the authentic, like, I don't know, Western America or whatever.
Yeah.
And he, like, illegally kayaks the Grand Canyon, and he, like, you know, goes to all these places and meets all these crazy people. And his goal is to go to Alaska and, like, go into the wilderness. Mm. And he does. And he goes into the wilderness, and he died. This is a true story about a real guy. He went in the wilderness and he got stuck in Alaska and he couldn't get out because of the seasonal change and like the river got too high. And he ends up dying, and he recorded it all. And I need to read the book, but I think the movie's beautiful because of the acting and like you can tell there's like chemistry with everyone he meets.
Yeah.
And the last thing he says, like he writes in his notebook that they found, like this is a real thing. The last thing he writes is, "Happiness is only real when shared." And it's just so powerful. I'm like getting a little emotional. Now. It's powerful because the whole movie is him meeting all these strangers and connecting with all these people in, you know, these random circumstances that he never sees again. All to the end of him going into the wilderness and being a man and, you know, living life in this, you know, what he thinks is like the ideal, you know, off the grid.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I like that too. I think that's like, I would just love to just throw society to the wind.
But I also feel like you want to be with people like so much. Like you'd want to share with people.
I can never do. Yeah. And that's at the end, he realizes that he's like this. He comes to this realization that this isn't happiness. This is just me being in the woods. And that doesn't make someone happy. Being with people makes someone happy. I have to remind myself that a lot. Or I struggle going. I go back and forth because sometimes people frustrate me and I just want to go
Want to be alone
woods.
Or like want to be independent and figure it out by yourself.
I want to move to Alaska.
Yeah.
But but that's not what life's
about. That's pretty moving though.
It is moving. All right. Spoilers are done.
Okay. That was. I feel like I'm like touched. Like feeling emotional about that too.
We should watch that movie.
Well, I also feel like that's like so similar to what you were saying earlier about how like. I think you're very much drawn towards being unique and like having these individual passions and interests and like growing yourself as an individual, but then equally wanting to like be with other people and like share in community and relationship and like deep relationships with them and like both those things at the same time.
Well, and they kind of conflict. Like they're not always
they're not always buddies. They're kind of at odds.
I'll go to a coffee shop and I'll like write my poetry.
Yeah.
Or I'll journal.
Yeah.
And I'll just have like little moments where I'm like, I just instantly stop enjoying what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just need to go sit on the couch with my roommate.
Yeah.
And it's just funny how that works. Mm-hmm. It's funny how the brain is just always, well, my brain is always just grasping for fulfillment.
Mm. Like social fulfillment?
Any kind of fulfillment. I think art and creativity is an outlet for that. But I think I'm also just recharged by being with people. Like, I don't need to do anything. I just need to, I need quality time. And you need to sit in the same room. And
Yeah.
And I've not found a perfect balance for that. I still have days, I have weeks like this week where I'm doubtful of who I am and what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then I have weeks where I'm, you know, ecstatic. And
yeah.
And I think that's just part of...
It's just hard to strike that balance of like...
It is.
What is going to feel like really energizing. Whereas I don't know if you ever feel like very drained when you're with other people. Or you can like notice yourself like... Like it, for me, if I don't have enough alone time, I notice myself getting like, I am like so irritable and I'm not a fun person to be around. And like, I don't have a capacity to like chat and chat and chat. Like when I hit that limit, I'm like, okay, I know that I need to like be alone and like check in with myself.
Cause you're an
introvert. And then I'll be ready again. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fascinating to me because I don't feel that.
Really?
At all. No.
Oh, but then like when I have that alone time, I'm like cloud nine.
Hmm.
Like, I love being around people. Like, I love it so much. But when I'm, like, able to recharge, I'm like, oh, like, I feel like the most myself.
That's so funny.
In the whole world.
I mean, to me, recharging is being with people. Mm. Like, if I'm stressed out, I need to be with people.
Yeah.
And specifically people that know me. Mm-hmm. I've always made this distinction. Like, being an extrovert doesn't mean I can just, like, talk to random people and go out, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's people that know me.
Yeah.
That's the difference. It takes energy. It drains me.
Yeah.
To meet people and to, you know, like, go on a date
and stuff
like
that. The small talk
and
the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to just, like, do this.
Energize.
He gestures.
Fulfilling.
Just to, yes.
Yeah.
That's the recharging for me, an extrovert.
Yeah. That's so fascinating.
That's me. It's so frustrating. It's maddening.
Mm.
Because... I think in a lot of ways, especially now, the world kind of tells you, like, oh, you should be fine. You have books here. I was just thinking about the book. I've thought about this book a lot. Huh. Everything I Know About Love by Dolly Alderton. Her sort of thesis is, like, I am enough, you know? And that's true. But I have always struggled with feeling like I need people or I need someone, like, romantically.
Yeah.
And it's not black and white. Like, that's a false dichotomy. It's not like, I am enough. Because if you were on a deserted island, you would probably go crazy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you can live a life single and not need, like, companionship and stuff like that. But
or companionship in a different, like, capacity or different.
Right. The relationships that fill you up can look differently.
Yeah.
Different. And it's just, it's this... spectrum, and both can be true of being enough but also needing people. And that's the struggle for at least me. I'd love to talk
and we haven't figured that out.
I feel like I'm talking in circles now.
No, that's so interesting though. What do you feel like you have learned about yourself or about the world through the lens of art and creating and romanticizing?
There's a poet I really like. His name is James Pearson. He's contemporary. He lives in Seattle or something. And I did a workshop, like a poetry workshop, like a Zoom one. This is so funny. I did a Zoom poetry workshop. Yeah, I'm kind of an artsy guy like that.
Yeah.
And he said something, and he was quoting someone. I can't remember who now. But he said, what is deeply personal is deeply universal. Which is just the idea that, like, what you feel, other people feel. Like, you're not alone. Everyone's... I think I've just learned that I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel the way I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's reassuring.
Mm-hmm.
You know? To not feel alone. Because nobody wants to be alone.
Yeah.
I like... Anecdote time. The day everyone was out of town... There was, I can't remember what, there was some holiday and everyone was gone. This was like a year ago or something.
4th of July?
Was it 4th of July?
We when we saw our like movies? Three movies? Oh yeah, 4th of July. Everyone was gone. Everyone was suddenly gone. Patriotic and...
Yeah. Yeah. Not us.
That's fine.
And I I think you just, like, confided in me some of your feelings about, you know, doubts or loneliness or whatnot.
Yeah.
And it was like me talking to myself. Like, everything you were saying is exactly how I felt. And I think I don't think everyone's like us or me.
Yeah.
And so it's good to hear, like, oh, yeah, like, I get you. Like, I understand that.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself is really valuable. So
just
that.
To feel seen, to feel known. Seen and known. I remember that too. Who inspires you and who do you look to continue like creating and engaging in art?
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, you really have this art thing is.
Well, as I was kind of pointed, but I feel like.
No,
There's so many things I love about you, but I feel like even if you have like doubts about yourself, I feel like just like the way that you carry yourself and the way that like I see you engaging in the world is like in a very artful and like creative way.
I'm so honored by that.
So that's why I chose it. I didn't choose it because I'm like, I only see Darian as a painter and as a photographer.
Oh, I know. Have you seen the Dead Poets Society?
Mm-hmm.
You know that scene where Robin Williams is like, I think he even says engineering. I remember this because he says it. He's like, you know, I can't remember what it is, like engineering and writing and something else. Like these are like careers. Like you need these to live. And then he's like art and I don't know, poetry and reading. Like this is why we live.
Mm-hmm.
I really butchered that quote. You should Google it.
Watch the movie.
Yeah, that's why we live.
Mm.
I think a lot of my... I read a lot of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
This is so cliche. I really like Mary Oliver. I like poetry that is themed around nature, around just your experience.
Well, that's like a big passion of yours.
It is, yeah. So being outside.
That makes sense.
I feel most myself. I feel closest to God. I feel most alive when I'm outside.
Yeah.
And it's a shame I don't get outside more. So in that sense, as abstract as this is... The outdoors, nature is an inspiration for me. Mary Oliver, like I said, film in general. I'm really inspired by movies. And I tell people this a lot. My favorite movies are movies that have a nuanced depiction of a lonely man. it's hard to do that. I feel like it's... To do that well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to depict anyone with nuance because people are so unique.
Yeah.
But I think I'm speaking from my experience because I am a man. And I have been upheld by the patriarchy for my life.
Yeah.
And so I think, but I'm a sensitive person and I'm a feeling person. And when I see an example of a man who has permission to feel and is not painted in this like weak or like useless, like, because that's what society, like, that's, we're permeated with that message of like men have to be masculine kind of thing, you know, toxic masculinity, all that jazz. It's one thing to say that's not true, like toxic masculinity is bad. It's a different thing to say this is what it looks like to be a sensitive, emotional man who is a leader and who is like an example for other men and for women, because I think in a lot of ways I'm very close to my I have to do all these little sidebars. I'm so close to my mom. I'm like not a mama's boy, I wouldn't say, but I'm way closer to my mom than my dad. And my mom growing up always would tell me like, you gotta do this or you gotta do that or you gotta not do this, all to like make me a gentleman. That was like her theme. She's like, you have to be a gentleman, you know, you gotta do all these things. And I think a lot of those little specificities are antiquated and stuff, but I think there's a lot of value in like being a gentle man, like just that. And I think that makes women feel safe, and I think it makes other men feel safe. And I feel like that's just loving
it, or just like a posture of like being gentle and being welcoming in general. Like,
exactly.
I feel like that makes everyone feel more seen and like comfortable and letting their guard down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really good answer.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm super excited for my last question.
Okay.
So this one, I want you to geek out about your favorite movies, favorite music, favorite poem, favorite media.
Oh, that's art. It?
Yeah, that's the question.
Oh, okay.
That's
I thought you were prefacing.
I just want you to hear about all your favorites.
Oh, my favorite. Okay, where should we start?
And you can, Letterboxd top four. We could share those. We could share
my Letterboxd top four. I think this needs to change at some point. I've been stagnant for a while. But these are the top four currently and have been for the past, 2 years. Swiss Army Man. Good movie. Odd movie. Very odd movie. Incredible soundtrack.
Never seen.
A very, very powerful soundtrack.
Okay.
I have it on vinyl. I actually have all my top four on vinyl. Now that I think about it. Yeah. Number two is La La Land. Good movie. Good movie.
Yeah.
Feeling movie. Number three is the movie Her.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Really good. Also,
we'll still have to watch that.
Odd in a lot of ways, but I think more so now than ever, very important for
the
psychology
time?
Of men and technology.
Well, I need to see that.
And number four, my number four changes a lot. So, like, once it was like an action comedy, once it was. It was Interstellar once, which Interstellar is another one of my favorites. Currently, it is A Ghost Story.
Oh, never seen that either. I've only seen one of your top four.
Wow. A Ghost Story is about grief. And I think it's incredible depiction of grief. Mm. It kind of flips everything on its head. And grief is personified.
Mm.
It's not a scary movie. I know it's called A Ghost Story, but it's not a scary movie. It's a sad movie, actually. And all those movies have phenomenal soundtracks.
Mm.
And I've come to find out I really like a movie that has really powerful music.
Yeah.
And a lot of times after I watch a sad movie, I have a playlist called Post-Movie Feels. And it's just music from movies. So those are my top four on Letterboxd.
Okay. Speaking of music, some of your favorite artists, genres, songs...
Currently, and for the past couple years, my favorite artist is Matt Maltese.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to see him because he's coming to Detroit.
When?
In October.
Did he come last October or did I imagine that?
He came 2 years ago. Ty and I went. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cute.
He is a British guy. He's kind of like normal looking. Like, he's just kind of...
Sorry you're average, Matt Maltese, if you're listening.
He's, like, his art is in his music, you know?
Yeah.
It's not in his performance. Yeah. It's not in anything else. And he sings sad boy piano music.
Yep. Some ballads.
You know, ballads, 6/8.
Yep.
Very jazzy. And they're oftentimes about being lonely or wanting love. And I think he's just really great at what he does, and he has an incredible voice. Mm. He's beautiful, so beautiful. He sings, his biggest song is As the World Caves In. I'm sure you've heard that song. It's like almost operatic, and it's very moving, especially live. So he's up there. I don't know. I've had a lot of... Lately, I've been really liking Rit Momney. I don't know if you know who that is. It's like pop.
Okay.
Alternative pop, maybe. Let's see. Who else?
That kind of sounds like a politician name.
Well, Mitt Romney. You're right. It does sound very much like that. I've been listening to Bob Dylan lately, courtesy of your boy.
Complete no.
Exactly. Ray Bol. I've been liking Ray Bol. They're kind of also a smaller group. Who am I? I'm seeing a lot of people this year. I'm seeing... Ash. Do you know who Ash is?
Ash that sings like Till the World
Falls
Apart or whatever with Phineas.
I have all of her albums on vinyl.
No way.
I think she's phenomenal. I love her. Seeing her, seeing Peach Pit and Bristol Maroney again.
Fun.
So I like pop. I like a lot of pop. I like alternative rock. I like folk and I really like jazz.
Yep.
I've been really into Cannonball Adderley lately. And Red Garland. Those are Sorry, not jazz, old stuff.
I love it.
They're both.
I haven't heard of any of these.
Great jazz musicians. Yeah, poetry. I already mentioned
Mary
James Pearson, Mary Pearson. Oliver.
Do you have a favorite poem of all time?
I don't know if I can say favorite of all time, but the one that's been sticking with me a lot lately, James Pearson has a poem. I can't remember the name of it. It goes like this: a lake can freeze and unfreeze a thousand times and feel no shame.
Yeah. I remember you told me that.
I did. Mm-hmm. It's easy to remember.
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a good Mary Oliver one called Early Morning, My Birthday, I think. And I don't remember the whole thing, but it's her recognizing all these little things, and then she says, like, what shall I do? Mm. And then she talks about walking back into the classroom and having to teach the children that they're better than the grass because they aren't. It's just pure. It's just, there's so much good poetry.
Yeah.
Poetry is a new, all these things you mentioned, it's funny you say all this. You've only known me for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
I've only painted for 3 years. I've only wrote poetry for 2 years.
Really?
Yeah. You want to know what really makes me a four?
What?
I only started painting because of a breakup. All these things I do are sort of incited by this just very, very intense grief.
But I also feel like that emotion and like that experience, like, I feel like those are often the emotions or experiences that drive people mm-hmm. to create and to like dive into passions. That's also why I started my podcast.
Right. Well,
it was after my breakup.
And that's another P hobby. So hobbies that start with P are great to start after you break up.
Poems, podcasting, mm-hmm. painting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the flip side of that, sometimes when life is going well and I'm cruising, I don't feel creative. Yeah. I don't want to write.
Yeah.
And I've written poems about that. I've like written so self-aware, like I'm happy today and my poetry's bad. Genuinely, I believe that.
Yeah.
Because I feel my emotions more when I'm in a state of sadness. And you need the sadness to feel happier. Like, mm-hmm. Bob Ross said that.
Yeah.
You gotta have the sad times so you know when the good times come.
Yeah.
He said that after his wife passed away. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, gosh.
Life is a roller coaster. And I think feeling everything equally is so important to living life, like having the full experience.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be afraid of being sad or like
yeah
having it all figured out. Like you gotta take it all as it comes.
Well, thanks for answering all those questions.
I feel bad. I feel like you didn't talk a lot.
Oh, well, I'm not supposed to. I'm just the host.
We're having a conversation.
I talk too much usually on these things. Oh, well. But I feel like I just really admire the way that you are so authentically yourself, and like you said, like really feel any and all that you need to feel, and like giving yourself permission to feel those things. I feel like that allows people to feel very seen and welcome to do the same thing. I think I noticed that when I met you, of like, okay, I can like completely be myself and not feel like scared or embarrassed or like having to make myself feel small. And I feel like that's a really big gift of yours. Aww. And I just think that you inspire people by the way that like you carry yourself and live your life in just such a creative and beautiful way. And you like draw out that beauty in other people.
Well,
so
just
wanted to thank you for changing my life for the better and for good.
For good.
And for being such a good friend. So
you make it easy.
Oh. So thanks for being on the podcast. We did it. Thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you.
You can find Darian. He's off of socials right now, so
I'm on.
Let me know if you want his phone number.
Yes, text or call me, or come to a local coffee shop on a Saturday. Odds are I'll be there.
But thanks for listening, and see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed Darian and I's conversation. I feel like he is so well-spoken and wise, and hopefully you're able to follow some of our tangents and sidebars, but I feel like he just had so many good things to say about art and community and feeling everything deeply, and how that really just adds to the beauty and the meaning of life. He has just been such an unexpected friendship, because I don't think I would have met him if it weren't through Ty, but I'm just so grateful for him and all the things that he has taught me throughout our friendship and relationship. Yeah, I just think he inspires me so much to want to engage more in art and to see things through an artistic and creative lens, and hopefully bring that in any space that I am a part of. After Darian and I finished recording, we just talked about how fun it is to have this time capsule of people and conversations and relationships to look back on, and I could not agree more. I just feel so grateful for the space to process and to share for anyone that's willing to listen. So thank you for being here. I hope that you feel encouraged and inspired by Darian and I's conversation and the person that he is, and that you carry that into your week ahead. I love you guys so much, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.